is the Lord. This is the day, and I'll say it again, this is the day the Lord has made. And we should shout in it, amen. I said we should shout in it and realize it is the only answer for you and the only answer for me, amen. Hallelujah, I'm sitting here looking for my Bible, and I reach down here, and I ask the question so often, and people say, why do you say that? Well, did you bring your Bible? Amen. I said, did you bring your Bible? Amen. We use the Word of God here in this church. I said, we use the Word of God in this church. Amen. In a day that we're living in, a lot of people want to question the Word of God. Amen. And I, personally, there's a lot of events coming up in the church. I said there are a lot of events coming up in the church. And if you look at the church calendar on the website, you see that they're coming and what they are. And we would really hope that you would participate in all these different activities that the church is going to have. Hopefully we can have a revival coming up, maybe. I don't know when. But when it does, all I know, the only time I ever had a revival when I was in a Bible church, it was the last 2 weeks of August. Reverend Young always held a revival. Well, we as Pentecostal, I said a Pentecostal, we should be always, every day in a revival, preaching the Word of God unto the lost, unto the dying. And if somehow by television, internet, listening by radio, a phone, or how you do it, I'd like to give you a warm welcome to our services today. A warm welcome to our services. We are a local Holy Ghost fire church. Yes, I use the word Holy Ghost fire church. Amen. That's our name. And somebody said, why do you ever come up with it? Well, John said in chapter 3 of Matthew that he would baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And that's where we took our name from, amen? We are Pentecost, amen? When you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, it is the baptism of God coming down on you that you can operate and function as a child of God. I said, as a child of God. You have your Bible. I already said that once or twice. We'll say it over and over. I'd like you to turn with me just for a few moments to the book of Matthew. In case you don't know where the book of Matthew is, that's the second book in the New Testament. Luke is the third book. John is the fourth book. Acts is the fifth book. Amen. Romans is the sixth book. Go on down the line. Hallelujah. You find it? We're going to ask the Lord to come in and bless this service. And we're going to ask the Lord blessing upon it. Father God, it's this morning to worship you. To lift your name up. To lift your Son's name up. To see people get saved, Father. We ask you to bless this word that we will be using this morning in marvelous name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was looking at the ninth chapter of the book of Matthew. And as I was looking at it, I was thinking about it, and I wanted to read verse 30, starting with. And they departed hence and passed through Galilee. He would not that any man should know it. So Jesus is traveling, what you call an incognito, unobserved, because, hey, if Jesus today was traveling or going to ride in a plane, he probably had to have his own jet plane. Hello? Because of popularity, because anytime you have Jesus around and people are sick, somebody wants to touch him, somebody wants to this, and somebody said they are pressing in on him all the time. So he probably couldn't travel on the bus. He couldn't ride the Greyhound bus. He couldn't ride what kind of bus you ever have today. I haven't rode a bus in long, I don't know when. I said no, don't know when. My wife always wanted to go for a ride on a train, but I didn't want to go for a ride on a train. I wish I took a ride on the train, amen. But I'm going to tell you something. We're going to, and we're not going to go out there but a jet plane. We're going to go out here with Jesus Christ. Amen. And so as I looked at it and I was thinking about it, should know, for he taught his disciples. One reason he wants to teach his disciples, he wants to instruct them in what they are to do. You know, we as a church, we want to instruct you what to do. When the Lord saved my soul, nobody told me what to do. Nobody told me anything. All I know, we had a sign here on the side of the church that I attended, and Reverend Young would say, that's our covenant. Well, that covenant is the covenant all the way around. Amen, I believe it. The church is in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we should wonder. So, if somebody would have touched me or taught me, I would have been able to grow and go a lot further. Main reason why I think a lot of people drop out of church is because they're not taught. You know, we're, as Pentecostal, we sort of think everything runs in you know, and ripping down the aisles, and that is good. I like that. I like to see it. I like to see people doing it. But my friend, let me tell you, there's more to it than you jumping up and down. Sure got quiet in here all of a sudden. So this morning, Reverend Young told me once, he said, you come to church to get saved. And that's true. You come to church to get saved. But may I ask you a question? What do you do after you saved? What do you do after you're coming to church? What do you do when they preach a sermon and open the door and you leave and you work 5 days a week? Maybe on a ranch you might work 12, 14 hours a day. But they don't tell you how to live. The Bible said we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And when somebody makes a statement, well, I have never heard God speak. Oh, you haven't? Because you haven't read this. To read this, you got to know God. Now, my mother, when I was growing up, she had a big family Bible. And I used to turn, and I never did look at the words in it. I turned to the dictionary in the back because it had a lot of pictures. You know, a little boy liked pictures. We like swords. We like axes. We like slingshots. We like everything. They are man's material, what men use. And that fascinated me. And what I would hear a certain story would fascinate me. But nobody ever told me how I was supposed to live to be a Christian. Do you live to impress people, or do you live to want to get God's favor? God wants to bless you, but nobody ever told me that God wanted to bless me. all I ever heard preach was a lot of hell, fire, and brimstone. And I want to tell you, hell, fire, and brimstone needs to be preached in the church today. It what stirs you is what motivates you. It operates, and the Holy Spirit comes and operates and starts to touch you. But then you walk down the aisle, or you sit in your chair, or sit in your pew, and you sit there with your head looking down at the floor. Manus used to sit all those little dig that. What he's talking about, I never could understand. All the but he's saying all the hairs on the back of your neck seem to go whoop, stand straight up. Hello? I said they seem to stand straight up. I went to Wednesday night services. It was called prayer night. They read the Bible, and everybody would have a say in it and would look at it, and I would look at it, and I would think, where'd they get that at? I didn't see it. My wife, she'd punch me in the side and say, Bill, keep quiet. So I do what my wife tell me. She knew best. Hello. I would keep quiet, and I'd look at it. And so I had a lot of time on my job. So I had a little portable radio. I listened to preachers. I would listen to what they had to say. One of my favorite preachers was Oliver B. DeGreen. I learned a lot from Oliver B. DeGreen. I learned a lot about what was in this book. And I would look at it. And then, the other preacher I listened to was, and I had to listen to Frank Duncan. He was a radio preacher, also like Oliver B. Green. But I had to listen to him because I didn't want to change my little portable radio I was carrying while I was irrigating and 800 acres of hay and 300 acres of corn. Now, the one I really listened to was a woman preacher. I said it was a woman, Catherine Coleman. I listened to her, and she would get, and she would do something that most of the preachers that I listened to, she had a way of taking this book and explaining it to you. And not only explaining it to you, telling how you should apply it in your life. And when I started reading that and looking at it and being taught by that lady on the radio, hello, I had no idea who she was. But God put the Spirit inside of me, and the Spirit inside of me made me hungry. You know what I mean? Hungry. I wasn't hungry for steak. I wasn't hungry for hamburger. I was hungry for the Word of God. The Word of God is the only thing we have in this life to guide us, direct us, and we need to be taught in it. And Jesus taught it. He said, He taught His disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill Him. His disciples would listen to the great text, and as they were listening to this, it said, kill Him. And then Jesus made a statement. He said, and He shall rise the third day. He shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask Him. They wasn't going to ask Him. They said, well, you know, a lot of times we sit and we listen to somebody, and they're preaching and are talking. And Wednesday night, I used to sit there and listen to them talk and they were teaching and they were talking. Every time I would say something, my wife poked me and said, "Bill, be quiet." Well, in school, I always had a problem. I always wanted to know why. Why is a good question to ask. So if you don't understand, and sometimes the preacher would preach something, and I would sit there, and I didn't really understand what he was getting at. I just only been saved about maybe a week. I said, maybe a week. But I did know one thing. I like praying. I started out my first prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth." So I learned from that that God wants his will done here on this earth. So I tried my best to do his will. So I got thinking, what in the world is the will of God? And I would think about it and think about it and I think about it. And then one day, as I was reading in my study, I came across, "For all have sinned and come to short of the glory of God." All. So I was a sinner before the Lord saved my soul. Somebody said, "Well, you say, no, I didn't get saved. The Lord saved me." If I got saved, like so many people that drop out of church, it's because they got saved. They said, "Well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to adopt this, I got to cross these T's and get through it." The Bible teaches we are to obey the Word of God, obey Him. The book is a manual, it's teaching us, and if we will read the book, and me and my son, we read the book every week. We study it by reading to it, and I ask him questions, and because he's smart. Hello? And then somebody said, "You need to get one of those New Testaments, you know, new Bibles." You know, well, I read the Bible, and I discovered they used big words that it didn't, and it didn't even add up to what I was reading in my Bible, so I put them on the shelf. So I looked at it. I never paid much attention. Now, this is the thing. When I first got saved, I was hungry. I read. I looked at everything. After a while, you get to the point you think, "Well, I know as much as a preacher. I know as much as the adult Sunday school teacher. I know as much as the deacon." What you do, you start to think of yourself, and you only been saved in 2 weeks, maybe. And looking at that, you will look at it and think, "Well, so what happens?" Your little ego. You know, everybody's got one. They get big, and everything else. If you don't ask questions, you're not going to learn. Hello out there. Are you listening to me? Amen. So they didn't understand what he meant. The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands, and they shall kill him. Now, let me ask you a question. Why would they want to kill Jesus? He fed 4,000. Talking about you need to get a biscuit about that side. That's up very far. You can ask blind Bartimaeus about it, and he could say, "Wow, Jesus, I can tell you, he opened my eyes." But you will find out as we go on this here study or preaching this morning a little bit. The people that wanted to kill Jesus, they wasn't Nicodemus type, Zacchaeus. John type. It was none of those types. You understand what I mean? That type, people, loved Jesus. And I will tell you the truth. 22 years old, that night sitting on the back row, I fell in love with Jesus. I fell in love with God. I fell in love with the Bible. I wanted to please God. My friend, do you want to please God? God has blessings for you. But for you to receive those blessings, you've got to read the book and find out that God does want to bless you. That God's not walking around with a baseball. He's not looking for the opportunity to send you to hell. God is trying to keep you out of hell. Well, you say, what do you mean God's trying? Well, why don't He do it? Because God can't stand sin. He's a holy God. I said, He's a holy God. Well, preacher, where does sin come from? He comes from the devil. Where did the devil come? Well, God made him. But He didn't make him a sinner. He didn't make him anything. He wasn't even an archangel. No. He was a cherub. He never was an archangel. He was a cherub. And He probably was in charge of all the cherubs that was around the throne of God. But then something, when you get your little mainframe, as I talk here, little brain, your ego starts to grow, and you start thinking you're bigger than the preacher. You're bigger than the Sunday school teacher. You're bigger than the deacons in the church. Otherwise, you get an attitude. And He decided one day, I want to be God. I think I know much more about God than anybody else. Even though I never saw God. You ever get that attitude? They was afraid to ask Him. And then it said, and He came to Capernaum, and being in the house, He asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourself, by the way? I noticed you was arguing about something. And again, He asked the question, but they held their peace, for by the way, they have disputed among themselves, who shall be the greatest. I sat in churches listening to the congregation, and they knew more than the preacher. And the all the time, well, you know, that preacher this, that preacher. No. You come to church not to criticize the preacher. You come to church to lift the preacher up, to help the preacher, to pray with him, help him. I wanted to help Reverend Young. Reverend Young take me to places with him, and I went. I watched him operate. I watched him what he did, and I learned from him. And then some other providers, I would learn from them. But they were disputing and arguing about who's going to be the big shot. And He sat down and called the 12 and said unto them, if any man desire to be first. He knew what they were talking about. I'm going to tell you, God knows your thoughts. Don't think He does not know your thought. He knows your opinion. He knows if you think higher of Him. So He sat down and He called them the desire will hear. Man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Well, wait a minute. I'm too big shot. You people like this in church. They walk in, if it rained, they drown. Their nose is so high. And all the man of God is trying to do is get them to realize if they do certain things, God wants to bless them. Not dictating, wants to show you. And so he come and he said, looking, I see you have. There have been people come into this church. They had needs. This church saw their needs, and the church became a servant. Well, now when I say a servant to people, they give, but to them, and they, I mean, it surprised me. I sat in it, a little church, you know, now big church. And that church dug up and paid the guy's rent for him that would do. So you have to want to look at it. The only reason this church, I'm going to tell you, helped that man because he claimed to be a Christian. He came here for a while. He had a family, had 3 or 4 kids. You don't want to see them get kicked out of church. The church I pastored way off here a long time ago, they took up all the coupons and stuff, you know, and put it on there. People go to the grocery store and stuff, trying to help people. So I look at it and I would think, well, that about it. So to be servant at all, Jesus does something that sort of staggered their mind as they sat back there and looked at it and thought. The Bible says right here, in verse 36, and he took a child and set him in the midst of them. Now, you got 12 men sitting there. And Jesus comes and he sat, and he's got the little child and he sets him right in the center of them. Then we talk about here, we think about children, but when you're just born again, you're a child in the kingdom of God. You don't know, you have this type of faith. He had taken him in his arms and said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receives me. And whosoever shall receive me, receive, and receive not me, yeah, but him that sent me. He said, if you don't accept me, but you accept God, you know. And so they was listening to everything. Now, John got convicted. John and his brother, some of them, they had what you call attitude. You ever have attitude or ego? An ego. And to the master, then John, verse 38, made this statement. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name. We saw somebody casting out devils in your name. And he followed not us, and we forbid him, because he followed us. Otherwise, he's saying he wasn't one of us. But John felt bad because he's going to be a servant. And he brings it up and he's talking about it. And Jesus will answer his question. John didn't got thinking about it. I don't know if I did the right thing. I just don't know if I did the right thing. It's... You know, we're talking about people. And you look at here, and he's talking here, and he's talking very clearly about it here. In thy name, and follow not us. Jesus answered and replied. When you think about it, but Jesus said, forbid him not. I imagine John is sitting in that circle around and sort of sat back and looked at his brother, looked at Peter, looked at Matthew. Well, yes, Jesus answered him. Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name. Now, we did learn one thing about it. The man is casting out devils. He is using the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do that. Now, I have had a church, I like going to tent meetings. And they would tell me, Bill, you know, you shouldn't go down there. You don't know nothing about it. But the man's preaching the gospel. He's preaching about Jesus. He's praying for people. You see things too. Now, I could get a sign, go up and false prophet. Don't worry about it. People buy false prophets all the time on the internet. But he's doing it. But this is the true thing about it. John should have stopped for a moment and thought, this man must have heard about Jesus someplace along the line. He must have been someplace of secret disciples. Ooh, secret? Well, Nicodemus was secret. He didn't run around with Joseph of Arimathea required the body of Jesus that took him down from the cross. He was a secret disciple. So we have people that did believe in Jesus. They were believers and they were walking and talking and casting out devils. Now the disciples had a little problem. They tried to cast a devil out of a boy and they couldn't do it. So again, it sort of come down a little jealousy. How can he do it and we can't? You know what I mean? Sometimes you're preaching sermons and you go to meetings and you see people flock to the altar, get saved, and you go preach and nobody wants to come down the altar. That can affect your little mind. You start thinking, and then if you're not very careful, you can become judgmental. Even sitting in the congregation in the pew, God wants to bless each and every one of us, but so often to bless somebody, have their mind made up against him. You understand what I'm saying? So he's talking about it. Discussing. No man shall do a miracle in my name can lightly speak evil of me. A man that hates Jesus and don't want Jesus will speak evil of him. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, the priests, Sanhedrin. They're the ones that had an opposition with Jesus because he wasn't one of them. Otherwise, he wasn't one of the brethren that they considered to be the one to follow. He was off. Well, Jesus is talking about it. So he was telling John, the man is not speaking evil of me. He's preaching what I'm preaching, the kingdom of God. the kingdom of heaven. Verse 41 says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." I was watching the Super Bowl. I was watching them play it. And I was watching these commercials. And Jesus said, feed the poor. The Bible doesn't say that. We're to feed believers and help them. And Jesus said, here, if you're doing it, 41, a drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, you shall not lose your reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone was hung about his neck and thrown into the sea. Look. Jesus said that. Well, somebody looked at it and said, well, I don't know. So, as I was sitting there looking at it, I was thinking about how would the Apostle Paul deal with the situation? The Apostle Paul would look at it and say, well, and he was a very strong man, very outspoken. The Bible says in the book of Philippians 1, verses 15 through 18, so indeed Christ, and what? No. So indeed preach Christ, even of envy, strife, and some also of great, of good will. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction unto me. Paul had enemies. And he was in jail or being castrated. And they get out and preach. He said, the Apostle Paul this, the Apostle Paul that. Because they wanted everything against him. So they would throw him in the dungeon, you know what I mean? Torture him, stick pins under his fingernails. Because they didn't like Paul. And then Paul said, then their people, they love the gospel, but they preach the gospel because they love God. And they love me. They know that Paul approves of what they're doing. Now, if you're not using the gospel right, then you're not a follower of Jesus Christ. So these people that were preaching contention against Paul didn't like him. They did not like Jesus. This put it plainly in old-fashioned okey talk. They don't like what you believe. No, they don't like me. I'm going to just look at this here. And I want you to notice something here. As I look in Philippians, as I was reading this, and I was thinking about it, some indeed preach Christ of envy, strife, some also of goodwill. Mm-hmm. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, as I discovered that already. Knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So now I'm going to come down to it. In a sense, John is defend his way, but his way is right. You can do something and do it wrong. You look at their message and you look at what they're preaching and they tell me, he said, boy, listen to what they don't preach. And you know what they believe, don't believe in. So, Paul is talking about that. Sincerity of my bond. Verse 17 says, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel, that the gospel of Jesus Christ. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yeah. And with Paul looked at it, they're preaching, they don't believe in him, but they're preaching the truth because they know what Paul preached, so they believe. So Paul still said, Christ is being preached. And that's the thing. The message, they were preaching the right message, but they didn't have the right heart. They wasn't saved. They wasn't following or any of those things. The thing that caught my verse is verse 19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers and supplication of the Spirit, making intercession in the Spirit. Paul was thankful for that. And so as we look at it, we do, but a preacher got to be careful. Well, Jesus said in the book of Matthew, don't cast your pearls before the swine, or they will trample you and turn and attack you. And you see it turning in this country, people attacking in churches because they don't really hate you. They hate what the church stands for, Jesus Christ. I have brethren that don't believe exactly like I do because they haven't seen the light. I can make that statement because I used to be a Baptist preacher. And I real well, and I always heard them talk about us Pentecostal now. My wife, she's a good Southern Baptist. She said, you going to go to Pentecostal church? Don't you know they're of the devil? Well, she asked the wrong person because my mother and father was Pentecostal. I said, yeah. So I went to there and we went to a meeting and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. So I was going to just went and be honest. I went to the Baptist deal and told them, you know, well, I don't. Nothing had changed outside of, you know, being talking in tongues and everything. I got the left foot of fellowship. You think God's going to give me the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus? No way. If I'm not saved, yeah, He will give it to me. And they did. Things dried up. Contention. I don't know. It depends on how you want it. So the day is, I want to see each individual blessed. And God wants to bless you. When I look at individuals sitting in these seats, I see the prospect that they can be. Reverend Young looked in the very back seat, and he saw a 22 man and his wife, and he saw something. Saw something in me. Until that time, he didn't see very much. But that night, sitting in that church, he saw something change. My wife saw it change. Next day, they came, him and the evangelist came and talked to me about it. But they saw a change. I would change from darkness to light. You understand what I'm saying? The things I used to like doing, I didn't like doing anymore. As I said it, I read this book from sunup to sundown. I come in the lunchtime, I look at my wife, and I said, what did this mean? What did that mean? After all, she was a good Baptist. And she said, Bill, what do you mean? What's wrong with it? Look at her, and I said, what does it mean here, replenishing? I asked little questions like that. But when they told me, said, you got, the Lord saved your soul last night. I already knew that. My wife told me when we went out in the car and I put my cigarettes up there, all that kind of stuff. She said, Bill, you got saved tonight, didn't you? I didn't know what saved was. Oh, I knew something transpired inside of me. And my old desires was and I heard her tell somebody, I went with my husband to the church that night, and she said, I went home with a stranger. I didn't do what I used to. I didn't act like I used to. I whole changed my mind. You know what I mean? I changed my whole view. And what she was saying, the things I used to say, used to do, I didn't do it no more. But I'll tell you one thing. God blessed us. Didn't make much money. We gave. Did what did. I didn't. I'm going to tell you the truth. I did not get money to the church or God, however you want to put it, to get anything. I gave money and stuff my wife did because God said do it. And I wanted to do it. I had no problem with it. Even today, I'll take almost my last dollar and give it to the work of the Lord. And Reverend Young used to pull out his wallet all the time and said, I can tell when you got God. He said, you keep your wallet in your purse and the ladies keep their wallets in their purse. And so I'm just leaving it with you. God wants to bless you. God has a plan for you. But you have to work the plan. Work the plan if you don't read. It's more blessed. I give because I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed with God's blessing. I want you to be blessed with God's blessing. And the only one you can do it, lift up the name of Jesus. He'll change your life. I don't like hearing people say, try Jesus for 30 days. No, it's not a trying thing. You try a car out, but you don't take Jesus for 30 days and say, I don't believe and throw it away. It doesn't work that way. You need to let Him operate in your life that you can come to Him. I'm going to ask you a question. Number one question. Do you know Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior? If you were to die right now, where will you spend eternity? I used to ask people that question. I got baptized. I didn't ask you that question. I said, have you ever known a time you actually felt God call you, use Him? And 90% of them say, not really. I hope I make it. Brother, if you hope you make it, you're in trouble. I know I'll make it. How do you know that? I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's a good promise. I said, that's a good promise. And you stood. Father, we ask Thee to bless each and every...